The Florida State baseball season is not too far away, folks. We're less than a month away from opening day at Dick Houser Stadium when Florida State takes on Butler on February 16th. The Seminoles have come back to campus for a couple weeks so far and going through individual workouts, doing some live at-bats as pitchers get built back up. So now that the coaches have been able to see the pitchers for a week or two here, we were able to talk with pitching coach Micah Posey and head coach Link Jarrett this past week. Spoke with Coach Posey on Thursday before talking with Link Jarrett on Friday. Just getting their thoughts on the pitching staff, kind of where they feel they're at right now. You know, no roles have been defined so far. That will be something that is worked out over these next 3 weeks of competition during preseason. Obviously, a lot of at-bats, probably a lot of scrimmages going on as the pitchers kind of compete for some spots in the weekend rotation and in the bullpen. I think a lot of roles up for grabs and kind of still a pretty wide-open competition overall. You know, Aria's kind of bouncing around with women's basketball, still has been on the road with the team a lot on the road this week. So I think we're going to try to hop on Zoom on Thursday or so to record in the mailbag. Obviously, a lot of questions from Twitter and on the Knowles 247 message board that we want to get to. And we thank you for giving us to answer a lot of good questions out there. So we'll definitely get to that as soon as we can. Obviously, women's basketball having a pretty good season. And I think Aria on the road a lot with them these past couple weeks and just doing some really good work with them as always. But he'll be back on here later this week, I think. So you can look forward to that as well. But, you know, we have just about 22 minutes with each Coach Posey and Coach Jarrett talking about the pitching staff. So over 40 minutes of pitching staff talk for this FSU baseball team. You know, last year, obviously, a really disappointing year for the pitching staff. But there's a lot of upside on this pitching staff. And I think they feel that they have the depth that's necessary this year and some versatility that can give them ability to do a lot of different things. So first will be Coach Posey on here, and then Link Jarrett will follow right after that. And feel free to subscribe to us on Apple Pods, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, and therefore, you know, just if you go ahead and can leave us a 5-star rating, that'd be awesome as well. And we'll be back later this week with some mailbag and some answers to all your questions. But enjoy some pitch and talk with Coach Posey and Coach Jarrett here.
Micah Posey, Florida State Baseball.
All right. First off, Coach, just obviously you're a Tallahassee native. You're a Florida State graduate. So you're familiar with the area, the university, but first year in the program as a pitching coach, just through the fall and now into the first week of preseason, just what are your impressions of the program since you've been here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a very storied program. You know, Mike Martin grew up around watching this program and what it's about. And so, you know, being here and kind of seeing it up close and, you know, the mystique and all that and the pride, it's all still there. And, you know, working with Coach Jarrett and, you know, trying to get this thing where it needs to be, it's been, you know, it's been fun and it's been, you know, there's some challenges with that come with it, but overall it's been enjoyable and, you know, kind of looking forward to kind of keep every day just trying to push the program forward.
Just how's your relationship grown with Link, and I guess what have you learned about him since you've been here?
Yeah, I think anytime, and I've had this experience, this is my fourth time doing it, so like when you go in and you're with the new head coach, I think a lot of it is there's some trust that needs to be earned and just, you know, kind of a unlearn for how he likes to do things, and you're trying to mesh your two styles, and obviously, you know, it's his program and he's head coach, so more me trying to mesh what he likes, but I think we're to a point where I kind of understand some of the things that are important to him on a daily basis and things that are important to him amongst the pitching staff. And I think we're kind of past the honeymoon awkwardness of trying to figure each other out. I think, you know, obviously, you know, when you get into spring and you get the games, there's going to be some more learning that comes with that. But I think we're in a pretty good spot as far as understanding what he wants to look like, what his vision is for the pitching staff, the program, the team, and then how the pitchers – you know, where do we fit within that vision and how, to, you know, how can we do our part with, you know, what he wants that to look like.
And then you also came in with some other new assistants, obviously. Ty McGahey, the recruiting coordinator, also some just other guys on the staff, and Brad was here and he comes over. Just how have you got to know those guys as well? And overall, how do you think the staff has kind of gelled together?
Yeah, it's done. You know, the staff's come together. It's a good dynamic. They're good guys. You know, that's the most important thing is when you're in the office every day with these guys, you just want to be with good people, guys that have some humility, some feel, those guys that, you know, have that. You know, Brad's been going hard, you know, for a while now. You know, at one point in the summer, it was just him and Link. So, you know, Brad's been kind of going hard. I know he's, you know, worked with catchers and stuff like that. And then Ty's been, you know, pounding the recruiting trail, trying to find the right fits and get the right guys in here and keep moving this thing forward. And so, yeah, you know, I've enjoyed working with those guys. There's a good dynamic in the office with, you know, Collison and Hewlett and Sean Guyte and, you know, now Randy and Nikki. Like, it's been good.
Obviously, last year, the pitching staff here didn't really have the season that they wanted and a little thin on depth and numbers. Just since you've been here, just I guess when you first got here, what did you make of the pitching staff, some of the returners you had? I know at that time you still had to go through the draft and stuff like that. And so just how did your thoughts on the pitching staff overall just evolve throughout the fall and since the time you've been here?
Yeah, I think last year when I looked at it, you know, you had – it was like there were some good pieces at the very top of it, but then you had some guys that weren't really ready probably, if I had to look at that right. This year, you know, some of the guys that are back from last year, you know, that some of them logged a lot of innings, and for us that's going to be valuable moving forward this year, I think. But, you know, this year I think – in the recruiting portal, they did a really good job adding depth. That was the biggest concern, I think, from that last year. This year is like, you know, getting the depth to where it's not just like kind of a steep drop off after your fourth or fifth guy. So the depth here is definitely good. You look at guys like Short and some of these guys, like they have college experience, Leiter. Like these guys have logged Division I innings. So, yeah, I think the depth certainly looks to be a lot better than it was last year for sure. I think you're going to see a lot of different variety compared to last year. I think you're going to – there's going to be a lot of different arm angles and looks, and I think that will be exciting for, you know, the baseball fans.
One of the new things here since you've got here is the pitching lab. I guess when you did get here, how much did you want that? I know you had something like that at Dallas Baptist as well. So your familiarity with the system and having a pitching lab before, how big has that been for you, and how big has the pitching lab been for the program since you've been here?
It's been really good because it gives you an idea with where your stuff at, you know, the pitcher's stuff's at. And, you know, the thing about the lab is it tells you where you're at, but it also tells you if you're making progress or not. And so, like, right now, like, when we, like, right before we left, like, there were some guys making good strides. And then we came back, there were a couple guys that, like, okay, kind of went backwards and are trying to get back to where they were at. But the lab, I think, is great. You know, it tells you where you're at as far as your pitch movements. And we're kind of hunting certain – each guy, like, we're trying to get him to a certain spot. You know, like Whitaker, we're just working on a slider. Like, there's some things that slider was doing well. We, you know, and so we're trying to – but it's been good. I think it quantifies progress, and it lets you know if you're going the right direction or not. And then once you feel like you've gotten to the right spot, the hitter will ultimately tell you if it's good or not. But it helps us. Like, a lot of times when pitchers throw a bullpen, it can be mindless. I've noticed when our guys are in the lab, like the intensity, the focus, it seems to be a lot better. Guys are a lot more excited throwing in the lab. And so for us, it's kind of like we have to manage it. It's, you know, if you're just in there pitch shaping all the time, like you can lose the execution piece. So like we're trying to kind of blend the two, you know, pitch shaping, execution, and those things.
How big is it for when, you know, guys might feel something in an outing and they come back to you and they say that they're feeling something or they see something that might not be right, that then they can go in the lab and try to fix that and work on it?
Yeah, I mean, that's been huge. Like, so we've given these guys their information. We give them after each outing. They know how their pitches were moving. They know their execution. They know, you know, where they working ahead or behind. Like, there's a lot of information that these guys get each outing. So a lot of guys will come and ask me, like, hey, I saw this was down, or hey, you know, my movement on my fastball wasn't as good, or hey, the slider didn't seem to be as hard, or maybe the horizontal break wasn't as good as it had been the outing before. So when we give them the information of the outing, they're able to look at it. A lot of them, it just creates a lot of good dialogue. You know, I feel like them being more educated on what their stuff's doing in the lab, and now they have all the information, they're just a lot more educated, which creates, for me, a lot more dialogue, which is what I like. I don't want to just coach at them all the time. Like, I want these guys to drive their development, and then I'm kind of in the passenger seat, and we're kind of collaborating, and I'm helping them. They're gonna have to sing a song. Like, I'm just helping them write it. Like, I can't sing it for them. So,
and obviously with pitching, it seems to have become so technology driven, and there's so much technology available for it. I guess just with all the data that you get back from that stuff, just how do you prioritize what you're looking at, the data points that you want to display to them that are supposed to be important to them on a daily basis?
Each guy has like a different data point that mm-hmm. they're kind of hunting. Sometimes a data point as simple as velocity, like right. the slider, like Connor Whitaker, like, all right, the slider's good at 81, but it's better when it's 84 or 85. So for him, it might be as simple as just, like, sometimes the data point might just be velocity. You got a guy like Gavin Adams. He's got 3 elite pitches. Like, let's not worry so much about the data. Like, let's worry about the execution. Like, your pitch shapes are fine. Like, if these are in the zone, they're going to play. You know, maybe the guy like Ladder, it's like, hey, you got 3 elite pitches. And the changeup, like, hey, let's try to make that thing, you know, not saying it's not elite, but like, hey, let's. And honestly, in the last week, like, that thing is taking a big jump, like, to neutralize lefties. So,
and then when you're going into recruiting, with the kids seem to be throwing harder and harder at a younger and younger age, and it seems like there's so many kids that do throw hard now, but when you're going to recruiting, what are things that you're prioritizing when you're looking at recruits that you want to have in a pitcher that's coming to Florida State?
Yeah, I think you're trying to look for kind of like, does the stuff line up here? You know, is this like frontline stuff? Because if you look up in Omaha, all those teams, they have stuff, right? So like, you need that, but you also need kind of some steady pieces that can throw strikes, move the ball around, and those things. So you're kind of looking for a blend of stuff and command. If you can find both, then you got like a really special pitcher. But you're trying to, you know, when you're recruiting, you know, you're looking for, 1, do they have an out pitch? 2, can they execute at a high level? And then, you know, you're looking at the stuff. Like, you're kind of looking at a blend of those 3. If you find all 3, like, you found a guy, but you're kind of looking at least, does the guy have 2 of these 3? And if they don't have the 3rd one, like, you know, how can we help them? So movement, velocity, command, like, of those 3, like, maybe they have 2. What's the, you know, maybe this guy doesn't have the best movement, but he's got velocity and command, then can we help him shape and get better movement? Or, you know, so that's kind of what we're looking at.
All right. And then last season, it's with the pitching staff, the rotation, weekend rotation especially, seemed to struggle for a while just to get innings, to get length. How important is length for a pitching staff from the weekend rotation, and how can you try to create efficiency for a pitcher as a pitching coach?
Yeah, so like, length for me is, you know, how efficient are they in the zone? And then are they mixing in quick outs? Like, you know, when you look at a starter and are they working deep in the game, it really boils down to 1 kind of stat for me, is like, are they able to get a hitter out on less than 3 pitches? You know, if you can do that 1 time an inning throughout the course of the game, like, you're going to be able to toe the rubber way longer. But if you can't do that, if you're going 5-6 pitches at every hitter, you're going to go 4-5 innings. And honestly, like, in our game, that's the hardest thing, is – you're starting to see, like, there's not a lot of teams in the country that have guys that are going to be able to work 6-7 innings. And the teams that have those guys are generally your better team. So for us, the create length, like, we're going to have to be able to pound the zone. But we're also going to have some quick ABs mixed in there. Like, you know, I was talking to Gavin about that the other day. You know, he had a guy, 2nd pitch, ground out. Like, you could tell he was kind of like, well, you didn't strike him out. Like, no, you need that. Like, that's more important than a strikeout, in my opinion. So that efficiency piece, you know, are you leveraging counts? Are you working 0-2, 1-2 to every hitter? Or are you 2-0-2-1? If you're 2-0-2-1, like, you're going to throw 5-6 pitches, just try to get back into the count. So, you know, are you able to leverage those counts 0-2, 1-2? And then are you able to put guys away on 3 pitches or less? And you're going to be kidding yourself to think you're going to be able to put every hitter away on 3 pitches or less. But, like, can you mix in 1 hitter per inning where he's a quick out, you know? And for us, it's identifying what pitch is going to be able to give that guy a quick out, and then can we mix it in, you know, and pick and choose our spots. You know, maybe we got the 3 hole leading off an inning. Like, I know that might be expensive of a bat, but the 6 hole is very undisciplined. He likes to go early. Like, what's the pitch that's going to allow us to get that guy out pretty quick?
Right. And 2 of the arms that threw the most innings last year, Connor Whitaker, that you've talked about some, and Andrew Armstrong, mm-hmm. both guys that have 3-plus pitches with movement for strikes. Just what have you seen from those 2 experienced guys since you've been here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Whitaker definitely has kind of like that veteran presence. He's kind of like the war horse, per se. You know, he's the older, established guy. He competes kind of at a pretty high level. And honestly, like, he wants to be good. Like, he asks questions. Like, just the daily pursuit of excellence for him is, it's pretty good. Armstrong's a guy, you know, I haven't got to see a ton of because, you know, he got hurt halfway through the fall. So we're just now kind of getting to the point where we're starting to see him more and more. But there's some mechanical things that we're working on right now that I think will help him kind of work, you know, a little deeper. And, you know, he's a left-hander. It's a kind of a lower slot. It's a different look. You know, I think he's, you know, he's a fifth year. I think he's seen a lot. He's, you know, kind of seen everything. He's not going to get too rattled. You know, I think, you know, we're going to kind of need that steady presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's going to provide that.
And Jamie Arnold and Ben Barrett, two lower slot guys that both threw a good bit last year as freshmen. I think you talked earlier about that experience being really good for them. Just what have you seen from them? I know Ben, like, Army was hurt in the fall, but you're starting to see a little bit more of him now. Just from those two guys, where do you see them making strides this year to kind of take that sophomore leap?
Yeah, Ben's cleaned his body up a little bit. Like, it looks stronger, leaner. Mm-hmm. His arm slot's in a much more consistent spot. It's not dropping as low. With that, we've seen a little bit of a velo tick. You know, he was up to 94 the other day in Lafayette pitcher. So, you know, we're kind of excited about what that could be. And then Jamie, you know, his stuff's as good as anybody's. You know, he went over the break. He had a really good break. He came out here the other day. I mean, I don't want to get too excited or too out front of it, but, I mean, he was grabbing some fives and sixes and some live hitter pitcher. He's going to probably be in the more 91 to 93 range and go grab a four or five. But the fact that we've been able to see the fives and the sixes, 95, 96, like, I think that's pretty exciting. The slider mm-hmm. looked pretty good. The changeup has made a big jump. So, yeah, those are two guys we're expecting a lot from. And they've definitely gotten better since the fall, both of those guys. And so that's, for me, that's something we're excited about.
One of the headliners of the transfer class was Cam Leiter from UCF. Obviously comes from a family of baseball. Had some success at UCF last year as well. And, you know, mid-90s fastball with three off-speed pitches. It seems like a frontline type of starter profile. Just what have you seen from Cam in the way that he works and the stuff that he has?
Yeah, so, like, you hear the name Leiter and you just kind of think, like, okay, this is, you know, baseball royalty yeah. and, you know, this and that. But he doesn't carry himself like that. There's a lot of humility to that guy. Mm-hmm. The work ethic is A+. Nothing's really been given to him, you know, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I think you're hearing – this is the time of year where you're hearing a lot of names being thrown around the country. This guy at Wake or this guy at LSU or Tennessee's got this guy or Arkansas's got this guy. And, you know, maybe his name's not getting tossed around as much, but that's going to – I think it's going to be a household name and a name that's gonna, you're going to hear quite a bit this season. And, you know, his work ethic is off the charts and – he's kind of a no-nonsense type of guy when we get to the field, which I've appreciated. He has a business-like approach, which I think has been really good. And his ability to want to get better and ask questions, and he doesn't ever act like he's got it figured out. Like, he's constantly seeking development and asking questions and challenging things, and I've appreciated that from a coaching standpoint. Here's a guy that's pretty good who could come in and act like he's got it figured out and kind of stiff arm the coaching piece, but he's not like that at all. He's the most, probably one of the most coachable guys I've had. So that piece of it's been very, very fun to be around him every day.
Two lanky right-handers that you guys brought in with the transfer class, Gavin Adams that you mentioned earlier, and then Ewell Tejeda. Just two guys that seem to have just really high upside and high octane stuff. Just what do you need to see from them in their development that you, to kind of put them in some big roles potentially this year?
Yeah, I mean, Gavin, we've kind of talked about just like his ability to compete and be able to work through adversity. You know, that's going to be the big piece for him. You know, certainly the stuff is some of the most premium stuff in the country. But is he going to be able to work through the adversity and those? And those are the things that we're kind of talking internally with him is just, you know, the compete and external and just some of the little things that go into being good. And he's done a great job with that. You know, Gavin's matured greatly. Like, honestly, if anybody on this roster, like, you could say they've matured, it's been Gavin. I just from, like, where he started in the fall to where he's at now, like, you know, I'm so proud of him and want to kind of challenge him to kind of keep moving in that direction. Tejeda, you know, probably didn't get a ton of opportunity last year, and the opportunity he got, you know, he just wasn't – probably didn't perform the way he wanted as a freshman, young guy. So he's been around the block. He's kind of seen what it looks like. And now, you know, you got a guy here that's getting more opportunity. And I think, you know, you're starting to see, he's kind of at times has a little bit of a presence to him, and it's a different look. You know, for him, the big piece is just going to be consistency, you know, and that's going to start in his daily work and his practice and you know, some of, you know, his off the field nutrition and sleep and those things. And I think when he does those at a high level, you'll start to see some consistency. And that's kind of what we're challenging with, is we just want to see that consistency. You know, our last left hitter pitcher, like, he had our best outing. It wasn't even close. I think he faced 7 hitters. He struck out 5 of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was pretty elite. So now the challenge is, can you do that every time, or is it going to be kind of like this yo-yo? And I think when you see the yo-yo's effect of, you know, the practice and the inconsistencies at practice.
The three lefties in the transfer class, they seem to all kind of have different profiles. Carson Dorsey with the high-quality fastball, and Connor Holtz with the spin, and Jacob Marlowe with the changeup. Just having those three guys, how much balance does that add to the staff, and especially depth and versatility, and how do each of those guys kind of fit into the staff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got some lefties that some different looks. Marlowe won't be with us the first half. We're going to try to see where he's at. He's still not playing catch yet, so for him, he might not factor in as much. But Holtz, you know, has the big curveball. We're trying to kind of play around with the slider right now to give him something short as well. Mm. But it's definitely, you know, a different look. And then who was the third guy?
Dorsey.
Oh, yeah. Dorsey's good because I think he's going to be versatile, like lefties and righties. He's, you know, the ride fastball is going to play against both. He's been very impressive. He's definitely a guy that's kind of caught our eye the most coming back. He sat 93 the other day, and the hitters were like, man, it's kind of jumpy. The slider cutter has definitely ticked, and the curveball, like, it's all been pretty good. So, you know, he's a guy, Dorsey could be like a Swiss Army knife, that you could start him, you could close him, you can middle, like, he can do it all, like, however we choose to use him. You know, we're still trying to work through that, but, you know, when you look at the versatility of what Dorsey could do, I think the reason he can do that is because he's going to be as hard on righties as he is lefties with the ride fastball that goes up and away from those guys, and kind of the deception, the different look. But he's a guy, like, coming back in, I think he's caught some eyes for sure.
I know you haven't seen fully all the freshman class yet, because some of them are still coming back from injuries that they dealt with during their senior years. But who's somebody that has stood out from that freshman group that you've seen so far?
I thought if you're going off the last year's versus pitchers, we've gotten to see one set of those. Davila was a guy that caught some eyes. You know, he displayed some spin that got some swing and miss, and the older guys are kind of like, hey, you know, that breaking ball is good. So, you know, he's one guy I think that's kind of stood out. Abraham and Saucer had good innings to their fall. You know, they're two guys that they're probably in that, you know, if you're looking at guys that, you know, to take the next step, those two guys would, you know, those are guys we'd want to do that. Saucer was 90-92 the other day. I think there's going to be a little bit more in there. We saw some more in the fall, and then Abraham has a good breaking ball. We've seen Rowan for the first time. He made his first live hitter pitcher the first time he's thrown on the game mound here at Florida State. He certainly, fastball had good life. I just think we got to refine some, you know, command, and that's pretty normal for a guy coming back. He's excited. You know, I think as we get into this thing, it'll slow down, but he definitely has elite stuff. And then Lauk, next week, or this week, probably actually today, will be the first time we'll see Lauk throw on game mound at Florida State. And so we're excited to get these guys back in the fold and kind of get them going.
And then just lastly, I mean, we're less than 30 days away from opening day. Like I said earlier, you're a Tallahassee native, a Florida State graduate. NFC, obviously, you coached there with your dad and went there. Just how excited are you to get this thing rolling and just to be out here with a stadium full of fans at Dick Houser?
Yeah, I'm super excited to see this thing rocking and you know, hear the animals going. And, you know, I think I'm just most excited to see our guys go out and compete. You know, they've put in a lot of work, and you know, we still got a month of work to do, but I think I'm getting excited to see guys, you know, be able to put it into action and kind of see that piece. But yeah, I mean, I had a recruit ask me, do you ever get tired of hearing the war chant? And I was like, I thought this was the dumbest question ever. Like, never. I mean, every time I hear that, the hair on my neck still stands up. So, you know, kind of excited to see, this place in full go. And, you know, this is one of the most iconic venues in college baseball. And, you know, what makes it iconic is the fan base. And we have baseball fans here. You know, I remember going to the game growing up. Like, this is a – these are baseball fans. These aren't football fans that just come to baseball because it's a good team. Like, these people know the game. And, yeah, I'm kind of excited for them to kind of see us and us see them and kind of get this place going again.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I talked with Coach Posey yesterday about the pitching staff, and talking with you about the pitching staff today. Just, you're about 2 weeks back from winter break. Just what have the first 2 weeks back been like for you guys?
I feel like the bulk of the guys are in a really good physical place. Like we talked about before the break, during the break maybe, mm-hmm. on the importance of them managing their workload away from here. Like when they're here every day and we see these guys from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. in some cases, we can help manage the timing, the load of what they do. When they're out of here, it's on them to find catchers, to adjust based on the weather. Things that we do for them when we're here with them, it's all in their hands. So they have to learn how to manage themselves and handle themselves as professionals over that long break. And if they're not ready when they come back, you're going to have a lot of issues on the mound, and you're going to have a higher risk for injuries. Micah did a great job. Those guys sent him video constantly of their bullpens. So when they got back, you really felt like you knew where they were. I like the variety of arms. I like some of the guys that were injured that we did not see. You see Rowan and Lauk, you saw them yesterday. That's pretty dynamic freshman left-handed pitching duo that we didn't see. So Phil Montano, our trainer, works with those guys every day, and that's essentially the first time Rowan had been out there, but Lauk had faced live hitters, and really Rowan didn't do it in the fall. So a lot of that's in Phil's hands. If you walk down in that training room right now at 9:30, there's a group of pitchers in there doing their prehab, we call it. So Micah did a great job aligning the work for these guys. You trust that the guys did the work. Phil busts his tail to keep everybody in line. Jamie gives them strength and conditioning programs that are on point for what they need. So I'm excited to be able to watch these guys compete with their stuff at this time of the year. And if you're not competing like you saw yesterday and today and tomorrow, you're a little bit behind. I feel like we're actually a little bit ahead.
You've been with Micah for about 7 months now since you hired him. Just what have you learned about Micah as a pitching coach since he's been here? And what does it kind of take for you to learn him as a pitching coach and him to learn you as a manager when it comes to in-game stuff when you haven't been together before?
Yeah, the art of the build-up and the management of the arm, like he's exceptional with that. And he likes a little slower, longer buildup. And every pitching coach has their reason. You combine the strength training, the long tossing, the flat grounds, the short, you know, working your way into your bullpens. Everybody's got a reason that they do it the way they do it. And he had like a clear plan of attack on how to do it. And like, we're seeing the fruits of that right now. He is a craftsman with pitch design and shaping, and what we're able to build in the fall, to you've seen it, and we need to show that off a little bit. Honestly, it's masterful what they learn every time they get in that pitching lab and get on that mound and see the data and see the video. So Micah is great with harnessing that, giving them real-time, instant instruction feedback, but then also you have to keep the competitive side in mind. So I know we weren't playing a game yesterday, but that's competition. And what happens after you've released the baseball is a little bit out of your hands as a pitcher. So the nuts and bolts of it you're seeing on the mound. So you have to take the laboratory information and the work you do and then put it into a competitive setting like we're doing right now. And I think Micah is just amazing at mixing those. You have to go from instructional data-driven info to competitive in-game execution and pitching, because the pitch shaping and stuff, like you're there's no feedback for you at that moment in the middle of the fourth right. inning of a game. You've got to compete right. and execute and get after it.
Last year didn't go the way you guys wanted to as a pitching staff, and I know you talked through the year about just not having the numbers that you're used to having and not having some of the versatility you wanted. when you went into the off season, and obviously Wally and Chuck were still here at that point, just what were you guys hoping to get from your transfer group and your JUCO group of arms? I think you guys ended up bringing seven in and had a few others drafted. Just how would you assess that transfer class arms that you guys did end up bringing in?
Well, I like it. Yeah. And, you know, you have Leiter and you have Adams and, you know, Marlowe will be back and you have Tejeda, and these guys have to master themselves. They're all a little bit different, but we tried to grab what we felt like, hey, let's try to grab some guys that we envision as true starting pitchers. Like, if you're going to host regionals and super regionals, like, you have to be good and deep the whole year, like, to be in the conversation for those things, and clearly that's our goal. If your starting pitching is more dynamic and can lengthen out, then it just shortens the impact and what you have to do with the bullpen. You have to have good bullpen arms, and you hope the stuff down there is also dynamic and you have some variety so you can utilize your matchups and, you know, whether there's somebody that truly, like, you kind of sit on to close games out. There are some pitching staffs that are built that way. There's others where you just kind of match it up to try to get the last six outs of the game and go with it. So I don't know where we are there. I know in the process of grabbing players, first of all, we had to create some depth, and this is a whitewater, fast-paced, chaotic transfer environment. So to grab what we grabbed, you were probably, and I think most people would tell you this, it might be, if you entertain three people for a spot, you may get one, like, just in the chaos of how this recruiting goes. So it's wild. You just are looking for the best available arm that seemed like the right fit, that had a sincere interest in this, and then you went with it, and you hope that when the dust settled, you created all of the things you wanted. Clearly more depth, hopefully more guys that were built to be starting pitchers at this level, and then some variety in the back end. And so far, I like it. We need Leiter to be the best version of himself. He's still learning himself. Gavin Adams is still learning himself. We'll see tomorrow when he's out there if what he did in the bullpen, it was the best bullpen I've ever seen him throw the other day. Now, can he bring that into a competitive game setting? So they have to master themselves, and Arnold and Dorsey. I think Whitaker is a little further along in the knowledge and the mastery of himself and adjustability with what he brings to the table. But some of those other arms are dynamic, and I've seen them become a little bit more dynamic as the weeks have gone by. So if you see the best versions of themselves, I think you have a chance to have, like, legitimate starting pitching, and then the rest of it gives you enough variety on the back end to hope that you can match it up for a handful of outs, not 18 outs, right? Like, you want to shorten this thing, and that's where the physicality and the ability of the starting pitching to execute. Make no mistake, the defense, I've seen outstanding elite defensive teams. We were not that last year. You could go around the positionally. We just need to be rangier, more athletic, more consistent at every spot on the field. That clearly helps the pitching. And it's not all the guy on the mound. Like, you have to have the right support. And I hope that what we see out of the position players also gives the pitching an edge just in getting off the field easier.
Cam Leiter had a really consistent fall and obviously had a really strong second half last year at UCF. You talked about him trying to get the best out of him. Just what do you think are the next steps for Cam, and how pleased were you with how he handled himself throughout the fall here?
I loved it. It's intense. Like, I can sense that, like, the intensity and the emotion, like, he's riding on every pitch he throws, and there's intensity with every pitch. So I've talked to him three times, like, let's make sure we're channeling this and containing this. Fastball mastery of where that fastball goes, it has an interesting profile. So he and Mike are working on, like, how to best utilize that. And the two breaking pitches are both above average, and the changeup it's above average too. So you're bringing – there aren't many guys that walk out there with four legitimate pitches right in play. You know, he's got it. I mean, that big breaking ball, that thing's tough. You can watch him play catch. I was standing out there with him it was Wednesday, and they were just doing their catch play. And that breaking ball, like, when you're standing behind the guy that's trying to catch it, even from 50 feet, like at probably 70%. It's just got tremendous torque and tilt, mm-hmm. and the sliders come along, the change up, and the intensity. Like there's a real intensity to this guy, and he brings it, and it's game on when he's on the mound. So it's fun to it's fun to feel that energy when he goes out there. So yeah,
I think you described Gavin in the fall as an unbaked cake with beautiful ingredients that you just need to get in the oven. I guess what would be the next step for him of turning that into also a beautiful cake possibly?
Well, the timer's down to about 6 minutes on the oven, and it probably was in there for 40 at about 350. Man, I don't even know how to make a cake, but you know, the oven door's about to open, and it's going to come out, and there's going to be icing on it, and we're going to eat it. So it's the gifts he has of stuff, you just don't see it very often at any level. Harnessing that and him having confidence in it and simplifying things. I think when you have that kind of stuff, like you're trying to always find like what's gonna allow me to really command it. What's gonna allow that fastball to be where I want it? What, like, and he battles a little bit of the mechanical, like, is it my delivery? Well, it's really at a point where I think his delivery is in check. It's him now going out and having some confidence and settling and repeating the stuff. And when he got here, there were some things that Micah really cleaned up. And I'll be honest, the other day in that bullpen, when you're talking about 97, 99 and a 90 mile an hour slider and feel for a really good changeup, you just don't see it. So till I think he throws tomorrow, Saturday, you know, can we see a more similar version of that on the mound where he's in good counts and he can potentially lengthen out outings? If it takes you 33 pitches to get through an inning, you know, the usage is clearly kind of confined to some sort of middle relief role where if you can be a little bit more efficient, he could be as good a starting pitcher as anybody in the country.
Right.
And so that's kind of what's at stake when we open the oven door and try to ice that cake up a little bit.
Well, you guys also, you brought in Noah Short from West Virginia, and he was the career appearance leader there. Just to have someone with that sort of experience and also the different look that he gives you from that sidearm look, just how important do you think that will be out of the bullpen? And you feel like he's someone that you could turn to pretty often throughout the season.
It's a great look. And he works, and he's sincere with what he's doing, and you know he's in it, and he's in it to win. Like, he knows what he's doing. I mean, it's great. And I think you lose the quirkiness of it when our guys have seen him walk on our mound 20 times now. So when he goes to face Ferrer, Ferrer's seen this so much. I think the awe factor of when he rolls out against somebody that's never seen it, it just totally changes, like, what it feels like when you're in our dugout and in the other dugout. He's gotten in put away position a lot. I think the icing for him is to make sure those put away zones and execution of, you know, the two strike pitches is better than it has been. Like, when he gets that, and he's going to get it, like, he's going to get it now.
Yeah.
That's a critical piece for him because the stuff can put people away, and you need strikeouts. Like, you need them out of your starting pitchers, but and you get later in the game, the ball in play is risky. It's just risky. The punch out is the best out, and if he can execute and get it in those put away spots, be it up, down, off, like, it just gives him the weapon that we really need, which is the big punch out.
Micah mentioned yesterday when I talked to him that since you guys have been back, Jamie has kind of shown a tick up in velocity. Just for you, how exciting is that? And the way you guys had to kind of rely on him last year, how big do you think those innings will be? And do you feel like you'll kind of get more of a consistent command out of Jamie this year?
His experience last year, huge, huge. And probably he was put in some situations, quite frankly, that are hard to ask of a freshman to be thrust into that. But we saw some flashes of it. That's why we did it last year. Mm-hmm. And we thought that was a more comforting role for him starting because none of the high school guys have ever been relief pitchers. Right. They kind of know the starting routine, and that's what we did. And it was up and down, as you would expect with most freshmen that are in that position. Now, you learn a lot from it, You learn a lot. And what he did in the Cape was good. And when you see that the other day, I mean, you're talking 92, 93, 94, 95, 96 from that slot with a breaking ball that has just wiffle ball type sweep to it. Man, you just, I mean, that's trending in a direction of being a first-round draft pick next year is what that's trending to, and you know that. Mm-hmm. Now, why there are days where it doesn't play like that, that's the toughest thing for Mike and I to figure out. Because when you see that, and what we saw the other day, that golly, like, that needs to come out once a week. And obviously he would project to be one of our starting pitchers. And I think Dorsey is in a similar – you see a different – arm slot, but gosh, it's a dynamic fastball that needs to show up every day. Like the fastball, the velocity and the look of the fastball is the one thing I would think that if you didn't bring anything else, you kind of once a week brought that, and then maybe the secondary stuff, you have a better feel for one than the other, outing to outing maybe. But this weekend, like, we need to see like that dynamic fastball stuff and then get to your secondary pitches, because it's just exceptional, elite stuff.
You mentioned Connor earlier and just his knowledge of pitching and his experience here. Just how much trust is there with Seawitt when he's on the mound and what he's going to give you and three pitches for strikes? And I know he worked on the slider a bit in fall. Just how much confidence is there when Seawitt's on the mound for you guys?
Love the guy. Just love it. What is the best role for him on our team? Brett, I don't know. But if you wanted to start him today at 4 o'clock, he'd roll out there today and you know he's going to compete. Right. If you brought him in the seventh inning, it might even play up and you know he's going to compete. He's going to control the running game, field his position, know exactly what's going on, take control of the game. There's not a higher level of trust that you can have with an athlete than how we feel about him. His stuff needs to get better. Like, that's it in the fall, like some of the days in the lab, that slider was up to 85, 86, and it was a dynamic, like, kind of gyro bullet type. He can just, Mike has said, I've never been around a guy that you could make a little adjustment in grip, and he can go with it. Keeping his fastball down, I think that's what hurt him last year the most, is it wasn't really down. He might have thought it was down, but thigh high is not down. Like, bottom of the knees is down. Right. And stuffing that thing in, like, it's not 100, so you have to pitch with it. And as he kind of gets that thing in on the lefties when he needs to and stuffs those righties, it just opens up everything else. And as far as trust, there's nobody I've ever trusted more than that guy in my career of coaching.
With all the pieces that you guys have, when you have a Connor Holtz and the spin he possesses, a Joe Charles, and, you know, he hasn't been able to get on the mound much, but the potential there, Yoel Tejeda and Andrew Armstrong, who you trust – just how much of a luxury is that for you when you're working with the bullpen, and do you feel like you're going to be able to match up really well with any guys, anybody you might play?
Yeah, well, the depth and the variety is the whole key. If not, you're just kind of hoping somebody can stay out there and get you out. Mm-hmm. It's great. It just gives you so many weapons. It keeps guys fresh, you know, because you're not having to maybe do extended outings. I like the look of it. Now, it's not a finished product. Like, Joe Charles is not it can be really good. Army last year had a really good year. It needs to be better than it has been so far this preseason. Ben Barrett, coming off the left-hand thing, the poor guy was trying to hit, you know, April, May, June, all summer, hand. He finally got that figured out, his left hand. I mean, that's a weapon that needs to continue to go. He helped us last year as a freshman. That if you told that guy, hey, do you think you'll start against Florida and start these games? And he probably didn't think that was going to happen walking in here, but he did, and he had some really good moments. Again, it's the mastery and the consistency of self, like what that ball feels like and how you make that minor adjustment, like in the middle of that inning, so you don't make two mistakes in a row. Like, you have to be able to kind of like a self-cleaning oven, like figure that out immediately. And then when I say knowledge of self and mastery of self, that's what I'm talking about competitively. It's different than the bullpen, but man, Tejeda, same thing. Right. There's more in the tank. Like, that fastball, what did we see it up to 96 or so? There's more in there. the dedication to the strength training, the nutrition, all of the things that, that help a guy that's 6'7", 6'8", kind of fill out and be more durable and consistent with what they do. I mean, that's part of it for him. So it's a nice group. I mean, clearly, like we have far more depth, and I think our depth is appropriate. I think this revolves around, can the upper end velocities, like the big arm guys, like kind of give us what we need to take the staff and create like a dynamic look to the staff. If not, you have a good pitching staff.
Right.
If they do, then you're talking about a kind of a different level and a different stratosphere of what the pitching staff could do.
And then just lastly, I know you don't really figure out the roles in fall, but once you get to the preseason, just how quickly does that kind of evolve? Is it something that you want to take to the very end of preseason, or is it just kind of as the arms compete, you see how they're doing it and just take it as it goes like that?
Yeah, we've talked about 7-8 guys kind of building up as extended, like trying to build the pitch count, which is you would rather build more guys pitch count and then you can back down as you get close to the season. If you're trying to build somebody up and you miss on doing that early, I think it gets risky. So, I mean, we sat in here for 30 minutes and evaluated like what we've seen out of everybody because they've all been on the mound enough where you kind of get a sense of, all right, this guy's in really good position. Maybe it doesn't make as much sense to try to get 3 innings out of so-and-so. So it's a constant evolution, and you hope everybody stays healthy. Clearly, that can change it quickly. But we've got a plan going in. Even today, like we've got a plan, and what you'll see today was a little different than maybe what you saw yesterday in the load for some of the guys.
Right.
So the pathway's there, the roadmap is there, but you can't kind of etch it in stone until you get close. And then once you've played that first weekend, you know, the chances of it changing a little bit, it could change then too. So it's a fluid piece. But if you're going to build it, you always build it on the side of let's make sure we've increase the pitch counts for anybody that seems to have a realistic chance to be asked to start and lengthen the outings out of the gate.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you, Brett.